Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Timothy Bass on behalf of the United States. Your Honors, despite finding that the officers in this case had probable cause to arrest the defendant, the District Court nonetheless found that those same officers failed to act in good faith in relying on two search warrants issued for residents tied to that same defendant. Your Honors, the government suggests to you today that the District Court's conclusion cannot survive this Court's plenary review. And that is so for two primary reasons. First, the District Court, in its analysis, failed to comply with the well-settled analysis under Leon. And that required the District Court to accord the officers' actions with a presumption of good faith because they, in fact, sought and obtained a search warrant.
Mr. Bass, do you think that if the only thing the warrant indicated, the affidavit supporting the warrant indicated, was that people in the drug business usually keep things in their homes, that would be enough to support at least a good faith warrant, you know, action based on such a warrant? Or would any police officer have to recognize that the only thing you say is, you know, X, we think X is a drug dealer, X lives at, you know, 1020 West Gift, therefore we can search 1020 West Gift?
Your Honor, I think your question asked, is the government suggesting a categorical rule?
Right.
You can always
search where they live.
And I think the answer to that is no. That it is not necessarily the case that simply because there is probable cause for a particular person, that equates to probable cause for any place that person may have visited. But that is not the case here, Your Honor. Again, going back to the good faith analysis, the first step is to ask whether or not there was clearly established law in contravention of the facts contained in the affidavit. And not only was there not...
Well, that sounds like a qualified immunity test. I mean, don't you have to look at the affidavit and see whether an officer in good faith might think that this was enough information to present to the neutral and detached magistrate, et cetera, and then have the warrant issue? And I guess I'm trying to figure out what... At some level, the affidavit is going to be so skimpy that we recognize even under Leon the answer has to be no. Judge McDade thought that was this case. I understand the government's position is that that's not this case, that this affidavit had more information than just this simple residency link that I'm postulating. I'm trying to figure out as to each house, and maybe the answer is different for the West Virginia house and the West Gift house, what at least in the eyes of a reasonable good faith officer suggests there's enough here.
What suggests that there is enough is that as laid out in the affidavits, and keep in mind the Leon analysis only arises if there's a deficiency. If there was probable cause, there would be no deficiency and therefore no Leon analysis. So we start with the fact that there are certainly deficiencies in the affidavit. But the precise facts that tie, that establish good faith in this case, as opposed to a bare bones affidavit, were that the officers attested in the affidavit that within the last 90 days prior to the issuance of the search warrant, surveillance, not an informant's information, but surveillance of the officers established that the defendant had been leaving his own residence and engaging in conduct consistent with drug trafficking. On one of those occasions, the defendant was observed near the Gift residence. He was observed getting into a car with an individual, driving around the block, immediately getting out of the car, returning to the Gift residence, and then thereafter there was a stop of the individual in that car on which was found crack cocaine. Now, that was the background of the 90 days preceding the issuance of the search warrant. You take that information and couple it with what happened on the day of the search warrant. And what happened was that the officers observed the defendant leaving his residence on West Virginia, carrying a bag, drive directly to the West Gift residence, enter that residence with a bag, then return to the vehicle and re-enter the Gift residence with a second bag. Then he left that residence and drove directly to a gas station, at which the officers again observed him back up to a dumpster, place a gray bag-like item into the dumpster, and drive off. Immediately.
So, I mean, you think at least at the good faith level, as opposed to the no problem in this affidavit level, that it does. I mean, Judge McDade is worried that there's no indication it's the same bag. There's no indication that maybe the gray thing that gets put in the dumpster came from some completely separate encounter and the like. At least those are the things, as you know, those are the things he criticizes about.
Correct,
this.
Your Honor. And putting aside the good faith analysis, Judge McDade said his reason for not finding good faith was that, in his view, there has to be an indicia of drug dealing at the place to be searched. Now, if what he meant by that was that there has to be direct evidence of drug dealing, that would be contrary to well-settled law in this circuit that says that an issuing judge, not the police officers, but the issuing judge may make reasonable inferences. And in the case of drug dealers, evidence is likely to be found where they live. So if that's what he meant, he was incorrect. But what if what he meant was that there must be circumstantial evidence or some evidence, however you characterize it, establishing a nexus, which goes to your first question, Judge Wood, establishing a nexus between the individual and the place to be searched, that clearly was the case here. Because keep in mind, we're not dealing in hyper-technicalities in the probable cause context. We're not even dealing with more likely than not. We're only asking the question whether any reasonable officer would have relied in good faith on the judge's decision to draw that inference. And in the absence of clearly settled law to the contrary, is it not for the issuing judge to draw that inference and in accordance of good faith to the officers who relied on that inference?
Mr. Bass, in that cocaine wrappings that were found in the dumpster, had he come from his own home or somebody else? How did that cocaine wrapper...
Your Honor, the events on that date all took place in roughly approximately an hour. He left his residence, observed carrying a bag, went directly to the West Gift residence, took two bags into that residence, then left that residence and went directly to the gas station where he was seen placing a gray bag-like item into the dumpster, after which officers searched that dumpster and found items from the store and then the wrapping for a kilo bag of cocaine, which tested positive for cocaine.
It's got residue, right? It's not the actual kilo of cocaine.
Correct, Your Honor.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever implications there may be, Your Honor, about a case which suggests to this court to adopt a categorical rule, this is not that case. This case only deals with the question of whether the officers reasonably relied on the issuing judge's determination where there was some nexus. However minor you may characterize it, there was some nexus. And in the absence of any clearly settled law to the contrary, that was an inference for the judge who issued the warrants to make, and was certainly good faith on the part of the officers who relied on that determination.
In their presentation to the judge, there was some criticism from the other side. Well, they should have gone to a federal prosecutor and gotten some guidance. You saw that, I assume, and I'm not sure how often that's needed or is used. And also, they went to a state judge. I assume this was a federal and state surveillance combination, FBI and state police, right?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor, it was.
Joint operation of some kind. They look now to, as you just mentioned, to the judge's conclusion that what the facts that they presented, and there's no dispute in the facts, I guess, that this was enough for a search warrant. Now, is there some defect in that process?
Your Honor, as the defense points out in its brief for the first time, it is an indicator of good faith if officers consult with a prosecutor. That's a good thing that this court has encouraged on numerous occasions. But the absence of that is not dispositive as to the absence of good faith. And on the record here, the only thing that was presented to Judge McDade were the affidavits. So there's no evidence one way or the other as to what consultation the officers sought with the prosecutor, let alone evidence suggesting that they made a conscious and deliberate decision to avoid that consultation. Yes, it would have been a good idea for the officers to do that. But again, Your Honors, that's a deficiency that goes into the mix.
Is it the fact that it went through the magistrate judge, you know, the legal officer, was he a magistrate judge?
It was a state court judge, Your Honor. Peoria Circuit
Someone
judge.
Who at least has the independence and expertise, I guess, to make this decision. Is that the fact that maybe it would have been a little bit questionable when they went there, but the fact that the judge approved it, now they could go ahead in good faith and execute the warrant?
Exactly, Your Honor. Even if you say that it's a good idea to consult with the prosecutor, the person whose opinion counts is the issuing judicial officer. And in the absence of that officer abandoning his neutral and detached role, the officers did consult with a neutral and detached judge who considered the facts and drew that inference, a reasonable one, that the officers were entitled to act in good faith on. And for that reason, Your Honor, I see my time is expiring or may have expired. We would ask that the district court's order of suppression be reversed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Bergson?
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. In this instance, the government has conceded that there was no probable cause in this case to issue this warrant. The only issue now is good faith, which they haven't conceded. I think that it's very important when going over the facts here, that, and I'll briefly go through it, because we aren't totally in agreement as to the facts. Individual leaves his house, goes to a second house. He gets out of his car carrying a bag. He then comes out, and I believe the evidence was he comes out with the same bag, but then goes back into the house with the bag. Whether there's two bags or one bag, that may not be clear. But the most important point here is when he then exits the house, approximately 45 minutes later, he has no bag. He has nothing in his hands. He has nothing with him. They don't see anything.
But, you know, Mr. Bergson, I'm looking here at the two complaints for search warrants appended to the government's brief, Appendix 21 and Appendix 24.
Yes, Your Honor.
And I guess in each of these cases, eventually, you know, so in the first one, this is for the West Gift residence, they recover the packaging for a kilo of powder cocaine, and there's residue in there that tests positive for cocaine. It seems undisputed that there is a link between Mr. Morris and the West Gift house, the premises that he's in and out of that house. And he goes through and it recounts this series of actions he takes, you know, with the bags and going to the gas station and all the rest of it. Had this affidavit been written with, let's say, better descriptions, you know, the bag from the North Slope, and it's, you know, with distinctive markings on it, we all know, you know, we can trace the bag all the way through, I doubt you'd be here. I mean, the judge probably would have said that was enough to trace the whole thing. So it's maybe a sloppy warrant, but isn't that what Leon is for?
No,
I mean,
Your
Honor. They look at this?
And I don't mean, no disrespect, but I think I'd be here anyways, because I think the facts of this case are very simple. No one was ever in either of these houses. Unlike most of the cases that come before this court on suppression, the things you have to see are, was anyone ever in the gift house or the Virginia house at any time and saw drug dealing? Did they see anybody? Did they see drugs in there? Did they see someone dealing drugs? Do they know that there's a reliability? You know, the government says in their reply brief that, well, we cite cases where there's informants. Well, that's how it usually happens, because that's how we go into whether or not there's probable cause. Whether
or
not someone
could... But the bag goes in and out of the house, doesn't it? Officers of the SID Vice Unit observed Morris leave from his listed address at Virginia.
Yes.
At 12:23 hours. He's carrying a bag as
right.
of the time he leaves. Again, so I'm just at least hypothesizing, if we knew it was all the same bag all the way through...
It's not, Judge. It can't be. And the reason why it can't be, Your Honor, is first of all, no one knows what's in that bag. No one ever finds out what's in the bag. But the most important thing is, when he then goes to the second residence, the second house,
the
and he eventually
house.
Comes out of that house, he's carrying nothing. He's not carrying a bag. So we can't hypothesize and start talking about he then brings the bag. Is it the same bag? It can't be the same bag. As a matter of fact, if you look at the affidavit, Your Honors, it doesn't say it's a bag. It says it's a gray bag-like thing. And it's very important. It's not a bag. No one has ever been in that house. No one has been in the second house.
What's a gray bag-like thing, though? I mean, item.
Your Honor, I didn't write it. And because I didn't write it, and because they didn't go to an assistant U.S. attorney, as in Martiniak and the other case, which we cite in our brief, which would be helpful. Maybe they would have told them that that isn't enough. Maybe they would have been more artful and done it. And maybe we would have said, wait, you've got no ties to either of these houses. There's no drug dealing in there that you can attenuate. Way to.
But surely going to, if you go to an AUSA, I can easily see how that would help, but I don't see how the absence of going there should hurt.
Your Honor, I would tell you that the absence of there probably has something to do with good faith. They could have gone to an AUSA, and I submit to the court there was no way they would write a proper warrant because no one was ever in either of those houses.
But these are Peoria police. I mean, they don't know if this thing's going to wind up getting prosecuted by the state, by the federal government, by anybody else.
They are with, it's a joint task force, Your Honor, and that's in the affidavits. It's a joint task force. That's what we know. And whether they hand it off to the federal government or whether they keep it in the state, that's a determination. That's a jurisdictional thing, which, you know, is far beyond me, and it's not for us to speculate, I guess. But the fact is, In the case law where we say it's very good to go to an assistant U.S. attorney, those are the cases where you have such a joint investigation. The fact of the matter is, these warrants, these applications for warrants, are so factually and facially defective that I don't think you could have good faith. And to say that 90 days ago somebody was seen coming out of a house and at some point in time there was a hand-to-hand, or they believed to be a hand-to-hand, they didn't even say it was a hand-to-hand, and they don't even say that the person who they stopped got the drugs from my client.
That's the other affidavit you're talking about now.
Yes,
the
Your Honor.
Virginia one, yeah.
And basically they're almost identical, they're almost intermingled. But the fact of the matter is, Judge, it's the important thing here is nobody has ever been in either of these houses who told the government or told the state or who told any law enforcement that there was actual drug dealing in the house or drugs would be in the house. And as Your Honor hit it right on the nose in your first question to the government, well, isn't this basically, you know, anytime you're a drug dealer, go hit his house? And that's what they did. And I would submit to the court that you read these affidavits, they're terrible. You know, unlike most cases, and I wanted to say before, when we're talking about informants, at least with informants, we start talking about, well, is it reliable? Is it timely? Were drugs seen in that house at a certain point in time where you would believe that they'd still be there? And then reliability are issues. We have none of those things here. We have absolutely none. And what they do, when they stop my client, eventually they arrest him, he's got nothing on him. He has nothing on him. To say that this residue, this gray-like thing, was ever in either of those houses, no one can say that. No one can say that it was in the bag. No one say it came out of the first house, went to the second. We do know one thing for sure from the affidavits, that when my client walked out of the second house, he had nothing in his hands. He had no bag. He had no anything. So then to attenuate that and say that we can go into the house, that's exactly what Leon says you can't do. You know, you have to have a good faith basis. You can't have good faith. They've never seen anything go on in the house. That's what Judge McDade said. You have nothing that ties any kind of drug dealing, any kind of storing of drugs, any kind of sale of drugs in either of these residences. And if they did, then we get into, well, is it reliable? Is it timely? We have none of that. 90 days ago, someone saw my client go out of a house? Never said that there were drugs in the house. Didn't even say that when they stopped the guy later that he got the drugs from my client. So in this issue of good faith, which is the issue before the court, I don't think any reasonably trained officer, and both of these officers, if you'll see by the affidavit, are very experienced individuals. Both of them have been on the force, I think one 17 years, the other over 20 years. These are very trained. They are experienced officers. They know better than that. And to allow this to happen on a general affidavit with generalities would just be basically what the Constitution says you can't do. You just can't have general warrants to go search something. There's absolutely nothing that attenuates to either of these residents with my client which would show that there was ever drugs in any of these houses. And this trace amount that they say they find in a green light bag, that was never seen in either of the houses. That was never seen in my client's car. And how do we know for a fact that it wasn't there before my client even went there? I see that my light's up. If anyone has any questions...
Well, his time's expired, so if you're done, we're done.
Well, then I am. Thank you very much. I would just ask that you affirm the order. Thank you.
Fine. This case will be taken under advisement.